The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Our guest panelist for today is Professor Mary Catherine Harrison from the Department of English. So glad to have you back.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for sitting in the studio for a whole week waiting for us to do another show.
I had nothing else going on.
You were just twiddling your thumbs, right?
Children are wondering where their mother is, but hey.
They're wandering the streets alone right now.
Unbelievable. Professor Diane Manica is here from the Department of Education. You know?
I am here.
Excellent. We're glad to have you.
It's not a live remote.
Thank you.
We didn't get something from you last time about how exams were for you.
Well, I don't have exams. Mm. I'm only teaching one course.
Okay.
She just takes bribes.
Yep. Oh, all the time.
She had papers to grade.
Yeah. This is why she's finally able to retire. Yeah.
I've collected
with her Johnny Mathis album.
Truthfully, though, I teach a professional staff development course.
Right.
And so I had all kinds of professional development plans to check.
Interesting.
And they are done.
Very good.
And I submitted my final grades ever.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank
for
you.
Final.
Final.
I hope
some
to get there someday.
Some of us are still zombies.
But I'll still be around.
We're actually going to have you around till November, September, is that what you said?
November.
Okay.
End of October, I'll be leaving for Scottsdale.
That's right.
Another winter.
Going out to join
please.
The rattlesnakes.
And because this is radio, you can't see it, but when she says Scottsdale, she's got a sparkle in her eye.
Oh, yeah. My sister's out there, so we are talking about all kinds of trouble we're going to get in.
Right.
Wonderful.
Bribes will pay for bail money.
I encourage.
Yeah,
I encourage.
But I'll be back. I'll be back in May.
Okay.
Nice.
We'll have you back whenever you're around.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And we'll always be remembering you because, of course, Professor Jim Tubbs, to your right, is wearing the I Love Johnny mattress pin. Once we heard that this is what the fraternity and sorority parties were like, Mary Catherine, when Johnny Mathis came on, they called him Johnny Mattress. Professor Roy Finkenbein is here from History.
Hey, Matt.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent.
Since this is theoretically a week from now.
It is.
My grades are done. In the-
Everything made it by the final call, and the associate dean did not have to hunt me down, and yes, isn't that wonderful?
Then I have more decisions to make about courses on the new core.
Geez. Yeah, teach mine. It's easier.
Oh, there you go. That, of course, being the voice of Professor Dave Chow. Now, final exams don't
not
have the
yet.
Same ring.
Nope.
Don't have the same ring
not
for CCS.
Thing.
You guys got a couple more weeks?
One more week, and then reviews, and then setting up the student show.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Ugh.
However,
not even sure
on
it's
the other
possibly.
Side of all that, of course, is the nuptials of Professor Jason Roach, which is coming up at the end
what?
Of May, right?
The nuptial.
Nuptials.
Just trying to be funny.
Oh, okay.
It's not working.
I'm like, you're doing what?
Well, I wasn't sure if you were trying to be funny or if you... I really didn't know that was how it was. I'm sorry.
It's a perfectly cromulent word, okay?
That's the big date, Jason.
But it's end of May, right?
Yes. It's
okay.
May 25th.
May 25th.
In New York.
In New York.
I'm trying York. To... I do the math. I guess it would be 2 days from today.
Oh, yeah. Now that you're today counting, right?
Oh, and how many minutes?
If today is next week's show.
Wow, that's pretty good that you're able to project that math. That's good news. Otherwise, we would have had
that's
Dan
that's because
do it
April has 30 days.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
And since it's next week, when we're done here, you'll go upstairs and check your tenure and promotion letter
oh
from
my.
Provost.
That's right.
Well, Jason, that'll either be a really good way to start married life or a really bad way to start married
it'll
life.
It'll be fine.
We want good.
I don't think it'll
2014
be
is going to be a good year for
when,
Jason.
When I received
I
word now... Gosh, 16 years ago, I was down in Ohio doing something my aging parents needed done, and the secretary in what was then the Clay main office down at the end of the hall where the Writing Center is now actually tracked me down.
In Ohio?
She called my home phone. My wife said where I was. She said, well, I've got a letter I think he wants to see. She tracked me down at my phone.
Well, see, that's...
Read it over the phone.
That is thoughtful and caring.
Yeah, that was very nice.
That is very, very nice. We've heard from Professor Beth Oljar. I'm just so afraid to interrupt you in the middle of the symbolic logic finals here.
Digging herself
a
out.
A week later, she's still grading.
She's still grading exams.
This has been the biggest pile of symbolic logic.
So Vicky and Diane are both very, very mad at me. Because Vicky Manzopoulos and Diane.
Because she's two and a half days late.
My grades are late.
You only ask for five extensions, and we only allow four. So yeah, sorry about that.
We don't allow any, actually.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And if you stump the panel, you can win one of our awesome prizes of an autographed photograph. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our awesome prizes of an autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 if anybody still does that. Or you can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We had a handful of questions left from Rachel Ralston of Norwalk, Iowa, and we can finish those up now. What famous artists was born with the name Anna Mary Robinson?
Tina...
Mary Cassatt, sorry.
That is not what it says here.
Not Grandma Moses.
Grandma Moses.
Oh, was it?
Oh, okay. Ooh. Done.
Grandma
Stabbed
Moses.
In the dark.
I was thinking Tina Turner, because... but I was taking artists pretty broadly.
Yeah, you were taking...
Because calling her Grandma when she was born made absolutely no sense.
That's right.
I once saw a jazz performer whose nickname was Baby Gramps, and I had to think about that one for a long time. What animals are responsible for pulling the Norse god Thor's chariot?
Valkyries?
Nope.
They're not animals.
Goats?
There were goats, yes. Goats.
I remember the Thor's comic chariot. Book.
Valkyries are
comic
women.
For the comic book.
Yes.
You mean a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember. No, comic book days.
So we can target, again, Jason with this one. Sorry, man, if you think we're rubbing it in too far. But what if you and your bride were having your leather wedding anniversary? What number would that be?
Oh, my.
Leather
as in, the gifts should be leather for what ordination?
Year. How many years would you be married?
Be married, yeah.
One?
Nope.
No. Paper's one.
Paper is one.
Five?
It's not five. Less than five.
Three.
It is the third. Yes.
When you need to spice things up.
I know.
Exactly.
I'm registered in more letters.
Registered for whips.
It should be the 3-year itch instead of the 7.
What year do we bring chains into the...
Shop in Royal Oak where you can get all the lips.
The questions are really good, Rachel, and I know I floundered through that one, but the original phraseology was, when is your leather wedding anniversary? And I thought that was just too formal.
Every night.
Just too
formal. A little personal.
Yeah, just a little bit forward.
It's already started.
What is the national flower of the country of Iran?
Mm. Ooh. National poppies. Flower. No, that's Afghanistan.
It shares a national flower. It shares a flower in common with one that is very common at this time of year on the west side of this state.
Tulips.
Yes.
The dandelion.
My favorite.
I heard when I was in Istanbul that tulips were imported from Turkey to Holland. And the reason why they got the name tulip is that the ambassador who saw them saw one pinned to a turban that one of the Turkish diplomats was wearing, pointed to it, and asked the name of it. And I forget what the name in Turkish for the turban was, but that was the answer he got.
Oh,
and so that's how he thought it was, what he heard was tulip. And
very
so that's
cool.
How the Dutch started calling them that.
I'm having some sort of a stroke of Japanese Venetian blinds here. So I think it's in the same category.
Small world.
Last question. There's only one body of water in Scotland that goes by the name of lake instead of loch. Mm. What is it? I've never heard of this before. I know, and if you look at the
map,
it's not going to help.
Scottish map when we need one.
Starts with the letter M, and I'm afraid there's not much.
Mac.
Pronunciation wise, we would say a group of males would be known as what word?
Men.
And the thing we use to chew things are.
Teeth.
It says it's men teeth right here.
Oh,
the Lake of Menteith.
For more, Where they're going to go Joe Mendy again. That's all.
Let's
the Lake of Joe Mendy.
It doesn't really say it. It doesn't really say it. Pretty interesting.
Lake Menteith.
So we'll move on here to a set of questions. We have a new question submitter.
Oh, welcome.
Mike Morris of Brea, California, 92821. Hello, Matt, and hello, profs. All of us here in Orange County.
Mike.
are happy to be reunited with an old and dear friend. Ask the Professor. Oh. I recently rediscovered the show thanks to udmercy.edu/ATP. It's nice to once again hear that the university tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor. Mm. On a recent program, one of the professors asked why a lot of questions seem to be submitted from Southern California, and I think I have an answer for you. Beginning around 1977, Ask the Professor ran on KRTH-FM, or K-Earth as we knew it, 101, for well over two decades. It was a Sunday morning staple that ran during K-Earth's public service, usually right after the sermonette, I love it, a local community affairs program, or an infomercial.
A little salvation and a little...
Yeah. Ask the Prof had a small but very loyal following in L.A. It didn't happen often, but once in a while you'd run into someone who knew what it meant to win an autographed photograph or a photograph of an autograph. They could also tell you what George Pickering said over the weekend that made Edwin DeWitt break up. It was the Marshall McLuhan tribal community on a smaller scale. No, can someone explain that to me? Marshall McLuhan's tribal community.
Canadian sociologist, communications.
Sociologist. The media is the message, yeah. Right? The media is the message. Yes.
To this day, we don't know why K-Earth stopped carrying the show, but we're glad to hear it once again on the web. On
the
a sad note...
The answer is deregulation.
Oh, there
they're
you
no
go.
Longer required to carry
exactly.
Service,
no more public service.
So we can blame that one.
On a sad note... Clinton. Our joy was tempered after learning about the deaths of Professors Pickering and Bush. George added just the right touch of snark that made Ask the Professor fun to listen to for many years it ran here. Mm-hmm. Professor Bush had just taken over as moderator at the time it stopped in L.A. in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. She was delightful, both as a panelist and hostess. I can only imagine what it was like to be a student in their mm-hmm. classes. You really were, Mike, a student in their classes by listening to them. Anyway, here are the questions. They were inspired after listening to a previous show in which a prof, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, commented there seemed to be a lot of names on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that aren't well known. Unfortunately, it's true. Several names on the Walk of Fame feature either long-forgotten celebrities, behind-the-scenes people that the general public won't be familiar with, or local Los Angeles radio and TV, which aren't known beyond Southern California. That being said, here are some interesting Walk of Fame questions that will baffle you, challenge you, or possibly even stump you. All the questions are multiple choice, which I hope will help. Here we go. Thank you. Mike Morris, Brea, California.
Thanks, Mike. The choice definitely helps, especially when we get clues.
Yes.
Clues Mike could be wonderful. A student in George Pickering's class because since it was on at 6 o'clock, it meant he wasn't getting locked out of his 8 o'clock class. George would lock the door exactly at 8, and so you'd have this semicircle of students with their notes and their ears pressed.
I love it. Number one, Judy Garland was one of the first performers to receive a Walk of Fame star in the year 1960. Which of her Wizard of Oz co-stars is yet to receive his own by 2014?
That little munchkin dude?
Ray
Toto.
No, not
Bert
Toto.
Lahr?
Bert Lahr is the correct answer, who played the Cowardly Lion. Oh. Just before he died in 1968, Lahr appeared in several funny Lay's potato chip commercials, and many of these can be seen on YouTube. And while we think about YouTube, we'll take a break. And we're back with some wonderful questions from Mike Morris. Let's continue on with these. Another early recipient of a Walk of Fame star was Dr. Herbert T. Kalmus, who developed an important motion picture technology. What did Dr. Kalmus invent? Was it the Vitaphone movie sound recording system, Cinemascope, Technicolor, or the Moviola film editor?
Technicolor.
It was Technicolor.
Oh.
It was. And 2015, I believe, marks Technicolor's 100th anniversary.
Oh,
it's kind of an interesting
I'm no longer going to cheat off of Dave after that answer. Let me tell you.
I just draw for a living.
Which of these Detroit natives does not have their own Hollywood Walk of Fame star?
Ooh.
Lily Tomlin, Lee Remick, Wally Cox, Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
Actually, it's not Tim Allen, meaning he does have a star.
Afford okay.
He can afford one.
Wally Cox? Yeah.
It's not Wally Cox.
Well,
it's Lily Tomlin after
Hotel. Really?
Really?
too
bad. She should have one.
FYI, Lily did receive a star in the Palm Springs Walk of Fame.
Well, that doesn't count.
I know. It's two blocks, though.
Yeah, you know, something.
It's around
like
the block.
That is really interesting. Wow. Really, really
she
interesting.
She certainly deserves one.
She does.
No, but I thought, didn't you have to pay for them? Or you got to get money for the Walk of Fame, though? Because who pays for it? Who pays to put it in?
I heard it was like the local civic organization that took care of it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was certainly heard. Would bring in a lot of money. Yeah.
And there are a lot of them.
Okay.
The guy that does the you know, the funny column, if you want to call it that, on CBS Sunday Morning. What is his name? Oh,
Charles Osgood?
Obviously very, very memorable. No, he's the... Oh, jeez. I just remember he got one, and then he did a column on why it was meaningless because I got one, and it was very, very moving. It was very, very funny.
Wouldn't want to be in a club that would have me in it.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Marx Brothers.
Which one of these celebrities who eventually found themselves on the wrong side of the law does not have his own Walk of Fame star? A, country swing band leader Spade Cooley. B, silent era comedian Fatty Arbuckle. C, Pee Wee Herman.
Well, it could be either one of the last two, but I'll say Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah. And D was O.J. Simpson.
I got to go with O.J.
Yeah. Yeah.
O.J. is correct.
Really?
Yeah. O.J. is correct.
Fatty got his before he got caught.
FYI, Spade Cooley was also an early L.A. TV variety show host. In the 60s, he literally stomped his wife to death whilst their daughter watched after finding out Mrs. Cooley was having an affair with another man.
Well, don't say on live broadcast what Fatty was accused of.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. Or Pee-wee, for that matter, you know?
And we all remember O.J. for Police Story.
Yeah, and for the record, Mike does a very good job of skirting the real hardcore issues because he says, answer, D, O.J., I wonder why. Oh, my. Which of these 80s groups do not have their own Hollywood Walk of Fame star?
Uh-oh.
Duran Duran, Wham, The Go-Go's, Journey.
Wham.
It is Wham, absolutely. Nice. It's Wham.
Wow.
Wake up.
Too British.
Before you go, go. It's a great song to dance to. It was a... I danced to that a lot in college.
It was a great, it still is a great song. But guess what? It's not written and performed by a Hollywood Walk of Fame band.
Yet. As long as the Go-Go's have one, that's...
Yes, well, apparently they do, in Journey and Duran Duran.
Okay, the Duran Duran makes no sense, but...
Samuel Goldwyn, Jesse Lasky, Cecil B. DeMille, and Adolf Zukor all have their own Walk of Fame stars and all co-founded a movie studio that's going strong today. Mm-hmm. Which one is it?
MGM.
Well, I was going to give you the choices, but I'm sorry, you're incorrect. Oh. Universal, Columbia, Paramount, MGM, but it's not MGM.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer? Oh, must have done another one after that.
Right, so not MGM.
Paramount.
It's Paramount, it says. Okay. For the record, it was known as the Lasky Famous Players Company, and Paramount is the only movie studio that's actually based in Hollywood. I remember hearing that somewhere. Let's see. Another early recipient of a Hollywood Walk of Fame star was a radio and movie comic named, oh my, Parkyakarkus. Parky Kakarkus. This man was also the father of two performers who are funny in their own right.
They named him that.
Because every time they heard their name, they had to laugh.
Parkyakarkus. Okay. Parkyakarkus's children are either Bill Murray and Brian Doyle Murray, Albert Brooks and Super Dave Osborne, Dennis and Randy Quaid, John and Jim Belushi.
Dennis and Randy Quaid?
Yeah.
It's not the Quaids.
No. The Belushis.
Belushi.
It's not the Belushis.
The Murrays.
It's everybody but the one you said. It's Albert Brooks and Super Dave Osborne.
Oh, okay.
Parky, as he was nicknamed, was born Harry Einstein.
I can understand.
Albert was, of course, Albert Einstein. And Super Dave is Robert Einstein.
Wow.
Super Dave Osborne.
I am going to do all the research I can on Parkyakarkus.
You're just going to stop. You're finally going to get off the Joe Mendy page and start looking that way.
Oh my word. I don't believe it. Super Dave Osborne. But see, I see the resemblance, I suppose, if I could actually picture what Parkyakarkus looks like. Which of these three all-time great TV game show MCs does not have a Walk of Fame star? Bill Cullen, Bud Collier, Dennis James, Bill Layden.
Dennis James.
Nope.
No, he did quite a bit.
Bud Collier.
Hint, he was known as the dean of game show hosts.
Bill Cullen.
Yeah. Bill Cullen, yep.
Is but he doesn't have a star?
He doesn't have a star despite a 40-year career in television, surprisingly.
But fame who is and the civic provost organizations.
Of game show hosts?
It says, FYI, Bill Layden was a popular MC in the 50s and 60s and hosted shows such as It Could Be You, Your First Impression, and Call My Bluff.
Hmm. Never heard of him.
Which of these lassie TV moms does not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? June Lockhart, Cloris Leachman, Marjorie Lord, Jan Clayton.
Jan Clayton.
Jan Clayton apparently does.
The penultimate one.
The penultimate one.
June Lockhart.
Yes, C. You're exactly correct. It's Marjorie Lord.
Marjorie Lord. Mm-hmm.
She was Mrs. Danny Williams on Make Room for Daddy. Yeah. She was never a Lassie mom. Leachman was on Lassie for a very brief time in the 50s, apparently. And what? I don't remember that at all. That's I watched at least a little Lassie.
It's a stepmom.
You know?
Oh.
June Lockhart, though, is everyone.
Yeah, she's
no, you know, thanks to TV Land, I feel like I was there. You know, the Addams Family doesn't feel too old. Okay, last one, Mike says. Last one.
They're all together. Okay. The Addams Family.
We're in trouble now.
That's what happens when I grade symbolic logic exams. Yeah.
I think I mentioned this before. So my preschooler last year hears this on some sort of Halloween mix CD, like the theme to the Addams Family. And he goes, Dad, what was that? I said, that was the theme to a TV show that used to be on about a spooky family. He goes, that is the same song that Mrs. Oldani taught us about the days of the week. There's Monday and there's Tuesday. And I go, you know this because it's your day of the week song, but actually it's a TV theme song.
There's a really fun game when you're teaching common meter in poetry classes. You can sing all songs, all poems written in common meter to the theme song of Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
So you get a little Emily Dickinson, then you go, sense was chatting through. It's great.
I love it.
Great.
Little known fact, Gilligan's Island was known during its pilot by the, you know, what is it, you know, like code name of I Heard a Fly Buzz When I Died. Right, exactly. Of course, only the poetry professor laughs. Okay, number 10. Leonard Goldenson. Leonard Goldenson received a posthumous Walk of Fame star in 2006. Who was he? Was he the man who founded the talent agency CAA? The longtime publisher of The Hollywood Reporter? The man who built ABC into the network it is today? Or a longtime executive for 20th Century Fox?
I gotta go with 20th Century Fox.
It's not.
Hollywood Reporter.
It's not.
ABC.
It's ABC.
Nice.
Sooner or later, we had a corral.
Sooner or later, just a lot of these have been seen.
Has he won a photograph yet?
I think so.
Disjunctive syllogism is a very helpful form of inference, right? You just eliminate. It's a process of elimination.
What did you say, Beth? You said both fame and Walk of Stars, or civic, you know, representation seem to be very fickle.
Yep.
It says here, Goldenson was, of course, the man who brought Disney and Warner Brothers together with ABC in the early years, which I believe those moves helped the network to grow and gain affiliates quickly. So, yes. Thank you very much for those questions, Mike.
Send more.
Send
lots more.
Yep, send more. Those are good.
Send as many as you can. Not even close to the microphone, sorry. Everything fell over. This is crazy. Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria, let me tell you. Two, ask the professor, comma, UDM. Is there another one? Oh, my. From a retired UDM professor who shall remain unidentified unless you really like the questions. I'll tell you who I am. Oh, my gosh.
Was this sent by email? Did we get this?
It is possibly sent by email. Possibly true. The topic is China. If you paid attention in grade school, read the papers and news magazines, or go to the movies, you should be able to easily answer these questions.
Right.
Well, that lets me out.
Don't look at me. I'm Canadian. What can I say?
Okay.
Let's dishes, see right?
Dishes. Okay, it says, you should know who Xi Jinping is. Who is Xi Jinping with regard to China?
That's the noise you make when you drop silverware down a stairwell. No, I don't know.
Isn't it the Prime Minister of China?
I'll give it to you. It's the President. President of China. Okay. Currently has a president. Yes, absolutely. Who is Puyi? And you should know this.
Why should we know this?
You definitely should know this. You will be embarrassed when I tell you that you should know this.
Is he a prime minister? Is it a panda? Is he a politician?
No, it's not a panda.
Oh, how much of our debt does he hold?
Yeah, like 100% of it, right, exactly. No, Puyi was the last emperor of China, emperor, right. the last emperor. Ended the Qing dynasty. Right.
Yeah. Well, but I haven't seen that movie, so therefore I'm not embarrassed. I'm guessing that it was a panda. Sorry.
Who was Sun Yat-sen?
First president of the Republic of China.
Republic of China, yeah.
Yeah, this basically was the revolutionary leader of the Kuomintang Party. Mm-hmm. Overthrew the Manchu dynasty. Mm-hmm.
Went to his museum.
And last but most certainly not least, Galwa Tenzia Gyatso.
Mao Zedong?
No. It's a person who's alive. He's the 14th something.
Oh, Dalai Lama?
Yes, yeah, the Dalai Lama. Yeah, that's his real name.
I wasn't going to say Dolly Parton, but...
As my wife said over brushing teeth this morning, is like, do you think he'll be St. Carol Watoya or St. Pope John Paul II? We're known by many names, you know? That's the way it works.
Like, hey, you.
I will want St. Angelo Roncalli myself.
I see. In the early 1900s, a Chinese organization named the Righteous Harmonious Fists, or the Yihi Tuan, were known in the West as...
The Boxers!
Yes. Bonus question. Only the history professor can answer. It's locked in. What was the cause of the Boxers, Roy?
Tight briefs.
Is the early underpants? No.
Oh. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
What about the opium trade?
It doesn't necessarily say that. No, that was it's earlier. About... All sorts of social and economic conditions, but basically they were anti-foreigner, is what it says. Yeah. They're anti-foreigner.
So, how did we deal with it? We sent troops.
Now you're back to teaching history. Exactly. What is the, quote, little red book, unquote?
It's Mao Zedong's
doctrine or whatever.
Book of sayings that, you know, should guide your life.
Mm-hmm, the quotes of Chairman Mao. Absolutely.
Common wisdom.
Yep.
I've got a copy.
Do you?
Yes.
Little red book?
Uh-huh.
Can you read it?
No. You're lucky I can read English.
Do you have the Canadian edition?
That's right. Of course. You can read Canadian English.
I would hope that you wouldn't be offended by me asking whether you had the Little Red Book in English or in Canadian.
In Canadian. Yes. That's why it's red.
Yeah, with a little maple leaf on it.
What is the current population of China? I have here something billion. What is the current population of China?
No, 1.3 billion.
1.351. That is exactly it. Absolutely.
Isn't that pi?
We are going. Pi is the name of the horse. Dang it, the horse. We are going to have to say 1.351 billion goodbyes, but we'll start with like a handful. How about Professor Oljar?
Goodbye.
Professor Roach.
Later.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Finkenbein.
Take care.
Professor Tubbs.
1.35 billion goodbyes.
Professor Manica.
Plus one more, bye.
And Professor Harrison.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. For the very last time, Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, but we'll be back again, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.